page Kuf Lamed Hey, Shas Afreichim. The Rebbe's teaching us how to look at the world, how to look at the world with a different way of seeing things. On the bottom of Kuf Lamed Hey, as I mentioned last week, he's going to turn to the Torah of the Balatanya that we're learning. It was Eichet to be learning now for the past few weeks. Monday morning, Torah of Tachas Shleivatas Hashem Lekecha B'Simcha. So he explains in the bottom of Kuf Lamed Hey. Lo rak lemala min olam hazeh ha'aris ha'elokus ikah ha'kol ve'etzem kol nimzahu. Agam ba'olam hazeh. You shouldn't think that elokus, godliness, is something which is beyond this world, in the Aver, someplace where there are angels and souls, and that's the place where Elokus is, and that's where you could find God. Rak ba'olam hazeh, rak gam ba'olam hazeh, in this world. Uba lekutei Torah meharav, and lekutei Torah from the Rav means from the Baal HaTanya, Parshas Sova, ala pasuk tachas, Yisa shehu yizbarach kel olam. There the Baal HaTanya explains Bariches, as we're learning, that Avraham Avinu's chiddush was not that he believed in God. When it says Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, that Avraham Avinu called out B'Shem Hashem in the name of God Kel Olam, not Kel Ha'olam, not that he's God of the world, that there are other people that believed in that as well, but that he's Kel Olam, which means that the entire world, all there is God. That was Avraham Avinu's chiddush. That's what he taught the world, that there is only godliness, and everything that we see is a ha'ora, is an emanation, a ha'ora of Elokus, of Hashem Yisbarach's infinite light. It's not Kel Ha'olam, as the Rebbe here explains. She'en Ha'olam inin bifnei atzmai. When you say that Hashem is God of the world, that means that would imply that there's a world, and the world has existence of its own, and that Hashem is God of the world. Maybe he brought things into existence, or he watches things from a distance, but there are two independent realities. There would be God, and there would be the world. And this is the understanding of 99.9% of the world, if not higher, more, that's what it means, God of the world. She'en ha'ilam inyin b'fnei atzma, l'shehu hispashtus, next page, ha'ora v'ziv me'or yizbar. The Tanya explains that with the words kel olam, God world, which means the world is God, Avraham Avinu taught that everything that exists, he revealed this, that everything that exists is a hispashtus ha'ora, which is the spreading forth of a ha'ora, of the light, of a ray of the light of Hashem. Me'or yizbarach, ad kan l'shen ha'kodesh. These are the words of the Tanya. Haynu kel ha'olam. So the Rebbe explains it. We would say kel ha'olam, if Avraham Avinu would have said God of the world, it would mean that the world has its own existence, but Hashem is the God of the world. But the kel olam hu she'en ha'olam b'fnei atzmai means that there is no world that exists outside of God. There is nothing. There's only godliness. Rak ha'aros yizbarach. And we spoke there, we learned there by Arichas, what does that mean? Ha'ara of Hashem. Obviously the world hides that Ha'ara, but every single thing, all that exists, it's only God. V'kol ish shaloi moser es kol atzmusu l'tavoysav. And the Rebbe says that any person who hasn't given himself over completely to his taivis, to physical desires, and any person who has not completely distorted his healthy intellect in a web of stupidity, Void lechanis is tipshius ha'ilu b'shem chachmas. And not only that, there are people who call this tipshius, this stupidity, they call it chachmas. They call it wisdom. K'dei lios hefker v'lasis kolosha oyla arucha hera. These people whose minds are distorted and are lost in the tipshius and the stupidity, which they call chachmas, and the whole purpose of their chachmas, of their so-called chachmas, which is tipshius, the whole purpose of their chachmas is for one thing, the elias hefker, just to free themselves of that reality, to be free of that frightening reality, of that demanding reality, that God, that the world is everything. In the world is only God. So all the Balei Taiva want to do is to recreate a world where they might allow there to be a God, but God is separate from the world. God is distant from the world. But not that the world is all God. But as we spoke about, that he's a loka de lokaya, that he's far, far away. He's a creator. Maybe he takes a look. Occasionally gets involved with some sort of a miracle here and there. But not... it's not that it's kel olam. So that's what the Rebbe is saying. Any person whose mind is not distorted by his taivas, and that is not distorted by the desire to live a life of hefkeris, philosophy's kolos sha'ila arucha hera, a life or a philosophy of life that would allow him to do whatever he feels like doing. But rather, if a person has a clear head and is honest, Oz ba'alil yira, he sees very clearly, shagam ba'ilam hazeh b'chlal, that even in this world, in this physical world, v'gam b'chol prat katan ba'ilam, and in every tiny detail of this world, chelik elokusa hu atzmus kol, that the essence of everything is a chelik of elokus, the essence of all that exists underneath the coverings of the physical world, underneath those coverings, it is the or of Hashem, the light of Hashem. Chelak elokus hu atzmus kol, the essence of all that is elokus. Vehu etzem she'ena mischala v'lo mishtana, and it is an unchanging etzem. It's an unchanging reality. This is the essence of all that is. It can never be exchanged, it can never change. And all that we see in the world that's constantly changing, what we see, a world that's constantly changing and in motion, which is loive surah, paisha surah, loive surah, there's a new thing, there's an old thing, a new thing, and different things, all of that we see is only rak levushehu. It's only a levush, it's only the external garment of the world. Avaloi levush zar, k'may begit shemis labish by ha'ish. And even though it's a levush, it's a garment, but don't think that it's like a garment that a person wears. But sof kol sof, the person and the garment are two separate realities. You go to the store and you buy a suit. You put on a pair of shoes. Those garments that we wear are not the atzmis of who we are. They're begadim, they're levushim. We could say it's some sort of an extension. It's some sort of it's just a covering. But sof kol sof, it's something which is foreign to our existence. We go to the store and you buy a piece of clothing. But elokus doesn't exist in the world in such a way. But that's not the case when it comes to elokus, when it comes to everything that exists in this world. It's the chitzonius of the etzem. It's not something from the outside that is artificially covering the inside. That's what a coat is. That's what a jacket, a shirt, a pair of pants. It's something artificial from the outside that covers what's on the inside. That's not what the world is. The world is not so far from elokus. The etzem of the essence of all that exists is elokus. It's not the same as with a coat. It's not the same. You can't say that the essence of the coat is the person who's wearing it. That's absurd. The coat is a separate reality that is artificially covering the person, but it's not the essence of the person. It's a lavush. Or the essence of the person is not in any way in the lavush. Mashiach came when it comes to this world. All that covers, the entire covering, that means everything that exists in the world, from the most distant planet to the tiniest little cell, everything that exists in the world is a chelik elokus mamish. It's a ha'or of elokus. It's the chitzonius of elokus. It's the external form of elokus that, because we're physical, that's the only part that we're able to see. But it's chitzonius shel ha'etzam shechelik elokisu. K'mesh isa b'svam k'doshim k'hadein kamsa d'lavushay minei uvei. Like the Svarim talk about the grasshopper, that kadein kamtze de levusha minei uve shavusha gamigufa, that the armor, the used gamoshel of the grasshopper, that it's levush, meaning the way that it looks, could be different. Inside, because you use the grasshopper, that its external form, which looks like something that's not grasshopper, Dick, is, it's completely grasshopper. It looks like a lavush, like you have animals that they wear. The animal looks like it's wearing some sort of a lavush, but it is a lavush. It protects the animal. But the emes is that it is the animal. It's a chelik chitzoni of the atzmius of the animal, of the creature. Kadein kamsa de lavush eminei uve. That the grasshopper's lavush is the grasshopper. That the levush is the chitzonius of the grasshopper, achim is gadlin b'laguf, so that it grows together with the grasshopper. The grasshopper doesn't go out, you know, shopping for something, some new levush. It grows together with the grasshopper, because the levushay is minei ubei. So the entire world, the levusha is minei ubei. It's not something which is not elokus that is covering elokus. It's a chitzonius dika form of elokus, a ha'or of elokus that is on top of the elokus. But it's from the etzem of elokus. The levush itself is from the etzem. Zohi yikel adas she'ein haguf etzem la'atzmai. And this is very, very important to know, that the body does not have its own separate mitzvahs. It's not an etzem la'atzma. It's not some sort of a reality that exists on its own. She'ein haguf etzem la'atzma. The guf, the body, is not an etzem la'atzma. Rakis etzem ha'nefesh le'nira. It's only that the etzem ha'nefesh, the essence of what the body is, the soul, is le'nira, can't be seen. Avlas etzem haguf on the royim v'chashim kulay. You might think that there's an etzem hanefesh, that there's the essence of the person is the soul, but the body has its own separate atzmius that we're able to see. In other words, that these are two separate things. The difference between the nefesh and the guf is I can't see the etzem hanefesh, but I could see the etzem haguf. That's not true. That's a terrible mistake. We can't see the Etzem HaGuf either. This is not the Etzem HaGuf. It's not the actual body that we see. It's not the essence of what the body is. This is a very big mistake that people make. That there's a nefesh, they think there's a soul, which we can't see. And then there's a body, which we can see. We can't see the body. And even if you say, well, I can't see the entire body, but in the laboratory, you know, in the microscope, and in the textbooks, you could see what the entire body is. That's a big mistake. But we're looking at the body, that's also not the etzem of the body. The etzem of the body is elokus. It's not what people think, that the nefesh is unseen, but the body I see. What they're saying is, we can't see the etzem of the soul, of course that we can't see, but we can't see the etzem of the body either. You know why? Because the etzem of the body is the same atzmius of the soul. It's not a separate thing. Just like the moshel the Rebbe gave. So he says, you shouldn't think you shouldn't think that I can't see the nefesh, but I can see the etzem of the body. I can see what the body really is. It's not true. That hasn't solved our question. That hasn't answered the question of the mystery of the world. Our question is, forget about what we can't see, that we have no hasaga of what the etzem of the nefesh, what the essence of the soul is. But you think that you could see the body and you could touch the body and you think that therefore you understand that the atzmius of the body? That's not the etzem of the body that we see and that we touch. Remember the question we were talking about last week. Then how does it change from the fertilizer to the grass, and from the grass it becomes then from tzemach, right? From the dirt, it becomes a plant, and from the plant, and the animal eats it, and it's transformed into an animal, and then the person eats the animal, and now the same etzem is changed into a human being. How do you explain that? That means I thought that I understood that this goof was the goof of a plant. So how does the goof of a plant, how is it now mishtana into an animal and it gives life to the animal? And it becomes the animal. And then the animal changes, it's eaten by the person, it becomes the human being. So what's the etzem? If the etzem is a plant, then how is it now a human being? If the etzem is a human being, then how is it ever a plant? The Torah says it's not the etzem of a plant, it's not the etzem of a human being. It's a lakus. It's a lakus, it's God. How could it be? Yesterday it was a piece of it was a plant. The marai, how it looked, tamo, his taste, chaltiva gufani, and all of its physical properties. It was a plant. And it was so diligent about its atzmis. All the plant wants is to remain a plant. And everything in the plant is to maintain that existence of a plant. That's how it functions. It's completely a plant, and that's all it ever dreams of, and it's all it ever wants is to remain a blade of grass. That's all it is. So that's it's trying to preserve what it thinks, and of course a blade of grass doesn't think, but what it appears to be its atzmius, the blade of grass is trying to preserve its essence. And foolishly, the blade of grass thinks that my essence is to be sitting here, and you know, in the breeze, and looking out at the world. That's the blade of grass thinks that that's who I am. And the blade of grass isn't nearly as dumb as a human being who thinks like that. That the atzmius of that his body is the etzem of who he is, and that his physical life, with his academic career. And then his professional career, that's the atzmius of who he is. He's much dumber than a blade of grass. Mm-hmm. A blade of grass, of course, isn't a bal seichel. A human being has a seichel to understand what the Rebbe is saying. You have to be stupid not to realize this. A blade of grass can't understand. The blade of grass stands over there and feels, this is it. This is my existence. I'm the etzem, I'm a blade of grass. And nobody has a tiny retreat against a blade of grass for thinking that. And then the blade of grass becomes an animal. And the blade of grass thinks, I guess I'm not altogether a blade of grass. And then a person eats the animal, and then now the blade of grass takes on the shape and the form and the essence of a human being. And the blade of grass says, well, I guess I'm not an animal either. I must be a behemoth. And then I must be an Adam. And when he's an Adam, then the Adam is capable of understanding. An Adam who received the Torah in Har Sinai is capable of understanding. It's not a blade of grass, that's not the Etzem. And the Etzem is not a behemoth. And the Etzem is not the goof, is not the body of a human being either, which is more refined than any other thing that the blade of grass has been until now. So the blade of grass at this point is able to understand through the mind of a human being all that I thought those years when I was sitting in the field, and later on when I was in the Behema, all of that my first was a fertilizer, a clump of earth, a lifeless seed. All that I thought was wrong. I thought that was the etzem of who I was. And now I realize that the etzem is not here or there. That's why it changes from one to the other. The etzem is elikus, and that doesn't change. It's the same. Kol kachay, that's just as kol hayisaydis asher b'svivoy sev latzmusa atzmus yerech hafach. The grass was so proud. The grass saw everything and all of his friends and all of his colleagues, and he saw his entire life being surrounded by the atzmius of grass. And he lived in a community of grass. And he raised his children in the community of grass. And he told them that this is who we are, this is what we are, we're grass. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's how the grass was growing. And all of a sudden, the next day, this piece of grass, he goes with his children, with the other little pieces of grass, and they're all of a sudden, not that the keva is the stomach of a behemoth, it's a keva's behemoth. So the kids ask, I thought you raised us thinking that we're grass. That's how you raised us. We went to grass school, we went to grass college, we got grass degrees. And that's what you told us, that's who we are. That's who we are. We're blades of grass. And now we're a kevas behema. Hulamacha, and the next day, kevas a yad adamiya. It's the stomach or the hand of a person. V'chol matzavei achadosh, and in each of its new set of circumstances, in each of its new lives, so then the blade of grass is now an animal, and now the mother blade of grass says to the children, well, now we're an animal, so we're going to be completely behemothic. What does that mean? It means we're going to function completely as animals, and this is how, and now since we're in the stomach, this is how the stomach of an animal works, and now we're going to go to animal college, and we're going to watch animal videos, and we're going to have animal websites, and because we really it seems that we're really animals. Sof kol sof, we're really animals, and we have to be completely immersed in this metzias that we now discovered who we truly are. We're not blades of grass, we're truly animals. So we have to immerse ourselves in this new metzias, and then the blades of grass start to wear animal sweatshirts, and have animal girlfriends, and they carry on as animals, because this is our true metzias, and they become very big masmidim in the new metzias. They become very, very big in the new metzias. They take it very seriously because they identify the atzmius with that metzias. The new atzmius, the new essence, and the new way of defining themselves, the blades of grass now define themselves as animals. So the mother blade says to the kids, forget that business of before. I guess it was wrong, or maybe that was an earlier stage of an animal, but now this is who we really are, and we have to be completely behemoths, and we have to try to make the sounds like behemoths, and to bend over, and we get to move, and not stuck just in one place. There are certain benefits of being a behemoth. There are certain benefits. It was nice being a blade of grass, but when it was, when it got cold, we had nowhere to go. And now animals, we can go into the cave, we can go in Chais, we can do different things. There's certain islands. And it becomes, and the grass becomes a behemoth. And the whole world exists this way. And that's how we exist, that's how the world exists. And that's how people live. And they become all together, they become the atzmius of this is who I am. The atzmius. And it's a very, very, very depressing thought. It's all very depressing. Zeshisa Beitz Chaim Shamem Beis Perik Aleph. And the Kisvei Ri Shemevi Bekodshos Ramban Alaposik V'Haaretz Ha'isa So. The famous Ramban at the beginning of Chumash. But the Ramban teaches us that there was an intermediary stage when Hashem created the world Me'ayin, from nothing. He created first a very, very, very unbelievably, an unbelievably sublime and mysterious first level of physical life that's called Tohu. In other words, we would not be able to see this. This we would call this nothing. This would be to us nothing. Shetohu b'chinas hiyuli. So Ramban explains it's a b'china of that of hiyuli, of something you can't touch it, but it's the beginning of that mitzias of the lavush of the garment. Shudava b'loy sura. And this chaymer hiyuli, the Ramban explains itself, does not have the shape and form of plants or animals or people or the sky or rivers and lakes. It doesn't have yet any of that form. It's prepared Ratmuchla Kabul Suras. It's something very mysterious. It's the beginning of reality, of physical reality, but it's not yet physical. It's that stage, or it's that mitzias that's prepared to be makabel, to accept the different suras of the river and the plant and the sky and the sun and so on. Hubachinis Keser Shabaulam. This is the crown of existence. Which obviously Ramban, everything he's saying there is Kabbalah. Ayin Shah. Hainu. Shechoimer ve'etzam ha'olam. Hubchinis alakus. What the Ramban is telling us, and the Eitz Chaim brings down, is that the choimer, the physical matter of the world, the etzem of the levush, of the garment, which is what we can, which eventually becomes something that we can see. The choimer hiyuli can't even see. There's no microscope that was or could ever be created to see that choimer. That's how unbelievably sublime it is. But what this is teaching us is that the chaymer ve'etzam ha'olam is that the physical matter of the world who b'chinas elokus, it's elokus, it's godliness, it's hanikra keser, it's called the crown. Shein by tzura, it doesn't yet have any tzura. Or makabal tzura is hayisaydus, it is prepared to receive the different shapes and forms of this world. Shakol Makabal Tzuras Hayisaydis Vishal Kol Divrei Ha'olam, to accept through that Chaymer Hiyuli, to cross over into the different Tzurais of this world. He explains more about that in the note, but we don't really need to go into it. If you'd like to take a look, you'll see afterwards. He goes into more specific about that, how do we see the Tzura of different things, and how that Tzura, that particular tzur is magbil, it defines that mitzias of the snow, or of the mitzias of a seed that goes, and so on. He talks about it. Page Kuf Lamed Zayin. Zayis aleinu lahamin. And this is what we must believe in. Zayis aleinu lahamin. This is what we must believe in. Af lirais mamish. But it's not enough just to believe in it. It's like the Alter Rebbe talks about, like the Alter Rebbe explains in that Maimer. It's not a matter of just in your head believing it, but seeing the world this way. Af lirais mamish. This is how a Jew has to look at the world. Of course, you can't see it with your physical eyes, but with the eyes of the seichel, like we're learning about in the Maimer, a person has to see the world this way. Kel oilam. She'ein etzem gufani la'atzma l'garmei nimsa. There is no etzem. There is no physical essence. It doesn't exist. There's no etzem gufani. Nothing is essence is physical. There is no such thing as anything that is only physical. That physical is just the garment, like of the grasshopper. That is the same material of what's inside. The world is of the same material. Just as the Tanya explains over there, how that happened, just in ha'ara, that's in a physical shape, but it's the same material. The inside and outside of the world is the same fabric. It's just the outside fabric we can see, and the inside fabric we can't see, but it's not two different things. It's the same material. That's what the Chaim HaYuli is. It's just the beginning of the, as you unroll it, it gets thicker. At the beginning of the roll, it's very, 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 very mysterious. It's the Chaim HaYuli. And then you unroll the world. And you unroll it, and as you unroll it, it gets fatter and fatter and fatter. But at the beginning, inside, that's the etzem of everything. It's all elokus. So the blade of grass was never a blade of grass. It was always elokus. Of course, the blade of grass, I was only using that explanation as a marshal. The blade of grass has that awareness, not intellectually, but it feels that on its own, that it's elokus. That's what the Navi Yeshayahu is crying about in the beginning, when the Navi says, Yoda Shar Kaneyu, V'chamar Evuz Ba'alav, Yisrael Yoda Ami Le'ezbainu. That even an ox knows who the Balabas is, but my people, the Jewish people, don't know. Ami Loyad Yisrael Loyezbain. The Jewish people are not thinking deeply upon this. An animal feels that. An animal knows that. That it's elokus. That's why animals are not depressed and have any problems. An animal knows that. An animal has it. That's its metzias. Its metzias is a shtek elokus. It's a shtek elokus. But a human being has a seichel, and the seichel we were given was to have bechira, and with the bechira, a person could think that the world is not the world is not elokus, and mimela, then people are living in the miserable lives of being unfaithful to who we really are, of being unfaithful to the essence, and as we're learning about in Rav Kook, then whenever you're not living a life that is coordinated with your essence, you're going to be unhappy. So a blade of grass doesn't have that, neither does an animal or a grasshopper and the sun and the moon. They are what they are, and there's no form of self-deception. But only when it comes to a human being. Yisrael lo yada, ami lo yizbaina, means that you're not thinking about it, you don't realize that. So a human being has the free choice to think that he's something that's not elokus. And in Mela, he tries to live a life, even though he might believe in God, but God is something that's up there or beyond him and so on. And his entire life is spent separating between the essence of who he is and what he does, and the life that he lives. So his physical life is not hell. He doesn't see his physical existence and his purpose here, day-to-day life. He doesn't see it as anything that's connected to elokus. He just thinks there's a God someplace that watches, or God that creates, watches, and so on, but not that it's elokus. But this is the yisoida of the emuna of a Jew. Kuf lamed zayin on top. Zayis aleinu lahamenaf liris mamish. The yisoida of the emuna of a Jew. Alein lahamin af liris mamish. She'ein etzem gufani la'atzem l'gamei nimsa. That there is nothing that's an etzem gufani la'atzem. There is no separate physical existence. Ein etzem gufani la'atzem l'gamei nimsa. No such thing. Rak etzem kol dover chelek lokusu. The etzem of everything. Is elokus. Everything is elokus. That's what the Tanya explains in that maimer. From there, a Jew could take unbelievable simcha, tremendous joy, and ahavas Hashem, and love of God, when he realizes kinav shayu, that it's him. Everything is God. That's all there is. It's very hard to feel connected to and to love, and certainly to love something that's not yourself. Even people who get married, because they say that they love that person, they spend their entire lives working in that inyan and adjusting to inyan and getting help in that inyan. And even when they do all of that, it's mostly a love of oneself and what that other person makes me feel about myself and so on. Because there's me and there's that other person. And it's very, very hard for a person who's bound to that reality of me being separate from the other person, from her, or from that friend, or from the parent. It's very, very hard. But you see, it's such an interesting thing with all of the inyanim that go on between parents and children. there are a lot of inyan. With all of the inyanim, it's the most natural thing in the world for a child, to, even if he doesn't always feel that he loves his mother or father, but he knows that he should. He knows that he should, and he knows that it's very weird and unnatural not to have a relationship of love. Because that is already, there you see a muscle of understanding that I'm not something that is separate from my mother and father, because of course I come from within my mother. And I come from within my father. I'm carrying their stuff inside of me. So when it comes to that, so there's a person on some level could say, nope, the relationship is a natural relationship. It's something that it should be. Even though you could ask yourself, like sometimes a kid could stop and wonder, like why should I love these people? Like what did happen that they gave that this lady gave birth to me? What's so special about it? There are other people that I should love more than her. So because I come from her, it's a very big union. Because even the unsophisticated mind understands that there's a unique relationship between the two of us, at least the kid with the mother, and the father also, because this is not material. Because I understand that in a certain level, my parents are me, and I'm my parents. Therefore, it's the most natural thing in the world to feel that attachment, that connection, and that love. If it wouldn't be for the craziness that gets in the way, but it's the most natural thing in the world. Much more natural than a person loving his wife. I'm from Queens, she's from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And that has one thing to do with the other. It has nothing to do with anything. I'm a guy, she's a girl. It's not shaykhs. It's not shaykhs. So there's this unnatural effort to try to love the person. And as I said, most of the time it's just that you're becoming more satisfied with what that person does for you, and then you call it love. So I love you really means I love me, and you're shukarach for making me more capable of loving myself. That's what it means, when those magic words. Did he say I love you? That doesn't mean it. It means he loves himself. We spoke about this 1,000 times, and any Baal Seichel knows what that means. Those words, I love you, means has nothing to do with you, has to do with me. There are situations like that, but it's a big avoda. It's a big avoda. And there's even avoda to love another Jew, but to love a Jew that you don't even know personally. When you realize how, like Tanya explains in Tanya, that other Jew someplace across the world, that Yid is nafshi, ruchi v'nishmasi, of Echad u'kulon, of the Zel Betate, it's the same father. Once I realize that we're of the same cut, and it's kulei chad, it's all one. I'm not separate from another Jew. His body is separate. His body is separate. He has a different accent, and he wears a different deodorant or something. So therefore, it's another. He's separate. He's different from me. So that's not the etzem. And as long as you're stuck in that place of the guf, and you confuse the guf with the etzem of who the person is, and that's what we all do. We make that mistake. But mainly, you have all kinds of feelings of I don't like him. He's different from me. I'm shy. How can I be there? Right? Try to talk your kid to going to a new school or someplace where they don't have any friends, or a new camp. I'm having this conversation, my wife and I, with our little girls, with the two youngest ones, for like the last 3 months, because you have to sign up for camp now, you know, like months and months and months, you know, before the summer. I don't know anybody there. I said, well, see, you didn't know anybody, there was a time you didn't know anybody anywhere. Now you know people. So you go to this place, you'll know people, there'll be nice girls. Nope. Not going. It's a good place, you should go. No, I don't know anybody. You'll know people, you get to know me. Your kids after 5 minutes. You know, like grown-ups have a whole these different inyanim. Kids in 5 minutes. It's my best friend, you have a good time. I don't know anybody, I'm not going. And when we get older, so we don't talk like that because it seems silly. It's the same strange feeling you have. How could you have a strange feeling with another Jew? That's our problem. It's only tzad the guf. It's not the etzim of who we are. It's avecha b'kulon. It's just like you don't feel strange with you. You might not like your brother or sister, but you don't feel strange with them. You might have tinus, you know, that could fill, you know, your psychologist's entire computer against your parents. You might have all kinds of tinus, but it's not strange or odd. The irony is that with all the tinus, they end up being the same kind of father most of the time that they got. They end up being for their kids too, with all your tinus. Because it's the same. It's the same mitzvahs. It's the same mitzvahs. The whole mistake is the mistake of looking at the atzmius of who I am and who that person is as being something which is separate. That's the mistake that causes us to feel such a distance. That we don't have to love. We don't have to love other people, to love other yidden, and to love and to love properly. To love a wife and to love other yidden and to love other Jews that we don't know, and to feel distant and to feel far, right? But you know that amazing feeling that you have. Occasionally it happens if you're a person that you have to sometimes schlep for business to go somewhere, and you're in a place where there's not one Jew, right? There's not a yid. You can't see a yid anywhere. And then just it happened an amazing thing that there's another yid that you found over there. So then don't you feel like a hiskarvus beyond anything of that? You feel a hiskarvus. You feel like that's your best friend that you know your whole life. That's how you feel. You know, that's the truth. Even though the guy doesn't wear you, it doesn't look like this, and he's speaking. All the chilukim, that if he'd be next door to you, back home, you wouldn't even talk to him. But when you're in a place that is not Jewish, and you meet a Yid, so then there's that automatic realization that that's my brother, my long lost brother, that's my brother, and you feel comfortable, automatically comfortable, with any Jew that you meet. It's happened to everybody. You're someplace you meet a Yid, and you feel comfortable right away. Not just because of the Jewish geography. Oh. You dive in there. Oh, your grandfather, they had Jews. Not just that, before that, just here we are. Because at that time you realize that if you're going to define the person by the goof, by his outside, that your loneliness is going to be unbearable. But if you look beyond the outside, so then you're going to have some nechama to your loneliness. And it's a selfish thing to be able to find a Jew someplace, somewhere, to have that nechama that I'm able to meet up with my own neshama. I'm able to meet up with my own flesh and blood, mamish. That's the hergish that a Jew has, one Jew with another Jew, that the entire world can't understand that. But that a yid has such a hergish for another yid. But when you're with everybody, you don't feel it. You have all kinds of things. You have tinness, that he's like this, he's like that. So you want to live on a block where every single yid on that block is exactly like you, and stands to the same yeshiva, and wears the same levushim, and everything is the same. And if there's a Jew that doesn't look like that, or is not like this, then you think that that's going to destroy your life and destroy your children, all these things, and you don't know how to have the scars to this person. You feel like you feel strange. That's all from the artificial mistake of identifying a person by the outside of who the person is, but not by the atzmius. But if you see that, if you're able to see, like the Tanya is talking about, it's even crazier than that. Crazy, I mean, in a good way. What's even more amazing than that is that a tzaddik is also able to feel at home wherever he lives in the world too. Not like you and I. That you live someplace and okay, I'm from New York, so this is where I am. said, we always laugh in our family. My wife is from, you know, East Flatbush, you know, born and bred, you know, Brooklyn. And when we moved to Queens, so first we were living in the, when we first married, before we went to HSO, we were by my parents for a bit. And my parents lived in a very quiet neighborhood. And my wife couldn't take the sound of the crickets, you know? She couldn't take the sound of the crickets, which was a natural, you know, thing that we grew up there. But where she comes from, because when we first married, the parents, her family lived in Canarsie. And the house was half a block away from the back of Kosher City, on Ralph and Farragut in Canarsie. And trucks and bottles breaking and cursing and crazy things going on. Mama's day and night, and my wife goes, some high. That's music to my ears. That's how we are. That's how people are. But a bird, yeah, ask my wife, when it starts to get nice, the weather, and the birds hanging around outside, she's ad hayyim. She's already got out of Brooklyn so many years, and still the birds. And then we're in the bungalow. The birds. Said, that's beautiful. What's wrong with birds? It's not. No, but you could put it, she could hear like shootings and accidents and everything. Nothing. She could sleep through all of that. But not the birds and the crickets and, you know, stuff. That's how we are. And that's just, and that's a muscle of something much deeper. A tzaddik is at home everywhere he goes. He's able to sleep. Everywhere he goes. And you see, Rav Kook wrote a lot about this. Because the tzaddik is at home everywhere, because to him, it's all the same. It's all the same. It's elokus mamish. It's elokus mamish. Just like the tzaddik, when he meets another Jew, that's his brother. That's tam. Like, we try to say that as long as the guy doesn't do anything that I don't like, he's my brother. So he's my brother. Even your own brother, you're not so crazy about. The tzaddik, when he says that, this is my brother, another yid, and he feels that, it's not mitzad the guf, because mitzad the guf, he's not his brother. He might not even speak the same language as the tzaddik. It could be totally different in his appearances and his behavior and his thoughts and his customs than the tzaddik. But the tzaddik looks at the yid from with those eyes that the Rebbe's talking about and the Tanya's talking about. Shein etzem gufani la'atzmo gamin zak etzem kol davar chelak alakus. So the tzaddik could be in some place, you know, in China, and it's okay. And we can't get used to being, you know, if you live in this neighborhood, you have the whole fight with your wife to move to this block or to that neighborhood. And even in the neighborhood, you know, I'm just talking about some people that have all these, they want to, they have all these drushes, Cedarhurst or Woodman. And I have to, like, what? And I don't understand, like, what am I, a real estate? I don't know. Look, I'm talking about these things. Yom and Valila, what's it like in Cedars? I said, I don't know what's it like in Cedars. I piss, I drive through to pick up my kids in Varroa. What am I, no Cedarhurst? I don't know what's it like? What's the Yiddish guy? I don't know. They're wonderful, nice Yidden and shuls. I don't know what it is. I daven in Eish Kaidish. I don't daven in those shuls. You ask me, what kind of person is Rabbi Feigen? He's a tzaddik. What kind of person is Rabbi Spiegel? Is it these offensive? Is these at tzaddikim? I don't know what it's like. What do you mean? Should I move to Cedars? I don't know, I heard there are young couples like this and there are older couples like that. I don't know what's going on. All the time I have to answer this. I don't know what it is in these places, you know, this place or that place. I don't know. You go in your Dalramas and you see, you know, you try to get along. You try to daven, you try to get along. That's all. Wherever you are. Not to be a person that says your whole life, when I get to this neighborhood, then I'll daven. When I get to this neighborhood, then I'll be friendly. I'll have friends or something. Wherever you are, that's you know. But it's hard for us because we're like the blade of grass. We're like the blade of grass, and you think you're a blade of grass, and you're worried that maybe in Cedars they grow something else. I don't know what that. Maybe it's different. And as a blade of grass, I might not be able to get along with what's growing in Cedars. But if you understand that it's etzem elokus mamish, etzem elokus mamish. It's an afkimin. What's an afkimin? You're here, you're there. What's an afkimin? I understand that, of course, raising children, all those cheshbainis. Of course, they are not, but the pnimius, really, What's the nafkim in it? And the penis, there's no nafkim in it. Between here and you know, and the, you know, face, you know, some poor Jarvis or something. What's the nafkim in it? What's the nafkim in it? But everything is a lukus. Okay, you say that the kid doesn't chop, so you're gonna put him on the street and call Jervis and what's over there, you know, what is he gonna have over there, a friend or, but that's all the gullus that we're in. And therefore when you see sentences which you can't even say, if you say them to people that you know, they get upset, but when you see in the Svarim HaKadoshim it talks about that Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim, you heard of those words? It's today's parasha. Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim. But the Svarim HaKadoshim, look at all the Svarim. They don't know the Melech Kedushah, like all the Svarim. Yaakov Avinu gave Chiyas to Mitzrayim. Or Yechi Yaakov, the Eretz Mitzrayim. He gave to Mitzrayim a Chiyas of Elokus. So what? What? You're giving Egypt is Elokus. That's what the Svarim say, Yechi. And he said, yeah, so the Svarim say that Yaakov Avinu was able to give a Bchin of Eretz Yisrael even to Mitzrayim. So then everybody gets upset. Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim, oh, you hear what he said? You know that the Naim HaLamelech is anti Eretz Yisrael, because he said like with Meir Kahana, Lashon got all upset when they said that Farak, when Jews said that Farak was the Netanya of America. You don't know, remember that, some of you might remember. So he was right, he got upset because he knows what they're saying. But Meir was talking, he knew what those Jews were saying.
Replacement.
Yeah, it wasn't talking about what the Naim HaLamelech was saying. When you say that to advertise, they were advertising that Farakway, I think it was Farakway, that the beach, and it sounds like the Netanya of New York. So, an Irish guy, and he knew how to make fun of something. Ooh. He knew how to take it apart. But that's not what the Naim HaLamelech is saying. Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim. That Yaakov gave the Chiyus of Eretz Yisrael into Mitzrayim. So he says, are you saying that we don't have to move to Eretz Yisrael? Which anyway, all the people that say that don't move. But are you saying that we have to move to the Mitzrayim is the same as Eretz Yisrael? No, but the tzaddik sees the chiyas of the Elokus and everything, which is the bechina of Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't have to be in Eretz Yisrael to be Eretz Yisrael. Of course, when the tzaddik is Eretz Yisrael, then it's Eretz Yisrael sheb Eretz Yisrael. It's unbelievable. But there's a bechina of Eretz Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz too. If you live with that understanding, and therefore he doesn't have to be in Eretz Yisrael to be in Eretz Yisrael. But for us, even when we're in Eretz Yisrael, we're Chutz La'aretz. So even there, you could see it as something separate from the Rabbanu Shel. What's the Kaisel? What's Chevron? What's Elisus? You feel inspired by the history of Chevron. You feel inspired by the history of Kever Rachel. That's what it inspires you, the Jewish life and history and so on, that it's inspiring to understand what does it mean Kedushas Haaretz, it's the Elokus of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mokum HaMikdash. But when a person realizes this, he says V'hagufani, the second line of Kuf Lamed Zayin, the body of something, its garment, it's not a stranger to the essence which is Elokus. It's one and the same. It's from the same material. The outside and the inside is the same material. It's just the outside is a coarser. As you unfold, the material gets coarser. At the end, it gets coarse. It gets rough. That's the body. And all in the inside is very, 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 very fine. But as you roll it out, it gets thick and coarse and gets. But it's the same material. This is like the nails of a person. When you look at the nails, the nails of a person look like they're strangers to the person. Right? The nails are weird. I'm talking about on the body. It's not like the rest of the body. The rest of the body is soft and is skin. The rest of the body has a certain way, and then you have these things that are called nails, and you cut them off. And the nails, you look like. No. So we understand. Any Balseichel knows that the nail that the nail of a person is kein zarm v'loy zarm. The nail of a person, it's a little bit of a stranger, but not entirely a stranger. It grows with me, but it's a little bit weird. It's not entirely the same as I am, but it is still me. Ach mi'etzam ha'ish hem yaitzim. But you realize that it is me, and that these are my nails, and they come from me, within me. So that much we understand, but you feel that it's still something that I can get rid of, just like the hair and the nails. I could cut that off, but a person wouldn't say about his finger or his toe to cut them off, because then he has much more of a strong feeling that, no, this is really me. The nails, he says, I understand it is me, but it's a weaker, more external part of me. So I can cut off my nails. Mashiach came the rest of the body. Okay, he feels that his nails are like the body of the grasshopper, the growth of the grasshopper. My nails grow together with me. In other words, the nails, and I do see the nails as being me, just a more coarse, unrefined part of me. But that's how it is with everything. Everything is elokus, just a more coarse, unrefined revelation of God. That's all it is, like the nails. Umeata loyis etzam anefesh levad ein onorayim v'chashim. So we should know, the Rebbe says, that it's not only the nefesh, it's not only the essence of the soul that we don't see v'chashim or feel. We don't really know what the body, we don't see the body either. It's the same material as the nefesh. So we think we understand the body, we don't understand that either. Because this clump of the body, this piece of physical matter, it doesn't have any of its own separate existence. There is no essence that's called the body, that's physical. Because even this physical body, its etzem, its essence is only godliness. It's God. Kel Olam. And we can't see that, and we can't feel it. We'll continue. This is an introduction to the most basic way of the Talmud Yavol Shem's cook way of seeing the world, of looking at what the world really is. Continue, Bezer Shem.